This afternoon, I'd like to share with you a subject that has the Lord's been dealing with me about. I think it's an important subject for the time that we're living in. Amen. I want to talk to you about convictions. If you went to a court, you would hear there would be a prosecuting attorney that is trying to give evidence that this person is guilty. This person needs to serve time. And then you'll have a defense attorney that is saying, no, he didn't do it. It's somebody else did it or whatever. There's evidence given back and forth. And then it's decision time. What is the truth in this matter and where will we stand? That we have heard before this saying, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would they be able to find enough true evidence in your life to say, he really was a Christian? Yeah. Or would they end up as the evidence went back and forth, they say, boy, that was just a surface. He was just saying he was. He really doesn't have anything to back it up. Convictions. I was looking at the definition. The act of convincing of error or the truth of what is alleged, my beliefs, my convictions. What information do I use to reach my convictions? You know, we're living in a time where it's going to be real important for all of us to back up every conviction we have by the Word of God. It doesn't really matter what I think about a subject. What I need to know is, what does the Word of God say about a subject? Because we're living in a time right now where pressure is being applied to Christians to change their convictions about things. Do polls affect your convictions? If somebody comes on and says, we have polled 65% of all Americans, and they now believe that this is okay. We're hearing that more and more. We hear that on this gay marriage thing, we used to hear maybe there was 35%. Now we hear the majority is for it. Yes. And I have to wonder, where do the polls come from? Nobody has ever called my house and said, Dan, how do you believe about this subject? But somehow they say, but we called 1,000 people. You know, there's millions of people in the United States. But they take this that we polled, we called 1,000 people. And out of that 1,000 people, 600 of them said they're for it. So that is what the whole nation is. 65% of the nation believes it. Don't let your convictions be changed by what the polls say. Because I tell you, polls are done for a purpose. They are intended to influence your convictions. They're intended to influence politicians' convictions. You know, when they say, well, the president now has an approval rating of 30%. You know what that's intended to do? That's intended to tell the president, you know what? The majority of Americans don't think too much of you. You need to change what you're doing. Well, you know what? Only he needs to change what he's doing if it's against what the Word of God says. But what it needs to be is for all of us, if we come into a time where polls come in and they say 98% of the people are for these wrong lifestyles, will it affect us? Mm-mm. Let's stand firm. What we need to do is know this is what the Word of God says. And it doesn't matter if you come back telling me 100% of Americans are for it. I'll know you're wrong then because I for sure didn't sign up. But no matter what you say, how many people you say are for this thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. What I need to do is right here is where I stand. Let me find the scripture where God says, this is how I view whatever subject it is. And let me take a stand right there and let that be my conviction. Because there was a few years ago, our country has declined so much in the last few years. It was not very many years ago when there was a law put in. And I thought at that time, I don't know why they need to make such a law. It's just understood. It was called the Defense of Marriage Act. in America, and it stated that a marriage is constituted by a man and a woman. It'll take a man and a woman for there to be a marriage. You know, those very people that signed that into law, that started that process years ago and said, we want this on the books, that this is the way it should be. Those same people came back just a very short time ago and say, we need to abolish that law. Why is it? It's not popular nowadays. So we want to change it. But you know what? God's word has stood solid through time. He does not send out polls. He does not say, what do y'all believe about it now? You want to make a change in it? Let's make a change in it. No, it's still the same as it has always been. A couple years ago, I remember even the leaders of our country, the president saying, my views on same-sex marriage is evolving. You know what? Anytime your convictions start evolving, you better get scared. You better sit down and go back to the Bible and say, what does the Word of God say about this? Because it was a very short time till it went past evolving to where his convictions were, I'm all for it. And others falling in after it. Why do I talk about this today? Because I tell you what, this subject hasn't stopped. This subject has just begun. And we're going to see pressure applied to Christians that you're going to accept this lifestyle. Daniel talked about there would be an event coming in Daniel 7 and 25. This verse was used. There's going to be an event coming where it's going to wear out the saints.
Yes.
The design will be to wear out the saints of the Most High. Keep putting pressure against them until they finally yield and say, okay, we will go for it also. We need, on this subject, to have a conviction. I know right where I stand. It doesn't matter if 3 years down the road they say we'll put you in jail if you still believe it. I've got to believe it. I've got to have the conviction because God's word has not changed. So I'd like to spend just a little bit of time this afternoon on this conviction. This is not the only one, but this one is front and center today for our nation. This has taken in the last year or 2 years, has gasoline has been poured on this one. It's now being forced on people. It's now going to be pushed in schools. This is where our country is headed. But you know what? It doesn't need to bother the Christian. The Christian needs to be just solid. Here's where I stand, and here's the scripture that I stand on. I'd like for us to take a look at it. Genesis, in the 13th chapter, talks about Abraham and Lot. They were together, and now their herdsmen, their animals have gotten too many, and they're going to need to separate. So Abraham has given Lot the opportunity to take the choice of where he wants to go. He can get first choice. And in the 10th verse of the 13th chapter of Genesis, Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. And then 11th verse, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. You know what? There's no sin in what he just did. He was given an opportunity to make a choice of what land he would like to have. And he chose that land. But there was something that happened. The 13th verse says, well, the 12th verse, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the 13th verse tells us what Sodom was like. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Yes.
Now, Lot should have looked at that and said, you know what? I'm staying away from this. I'm going to have a family. I got a wife. I'm going to protect them from the influences around us. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what? He could have justified it. I'm staying away from there. We're not even going to shop there. We're going to shop somewhere else. But something happened over time to where it goes on down to a verse in the 14th chapter and in the 12th verse. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. So in this chapter between the 13th and the 14th, something happened to Lot, and he moved in the city. He was then living in the city of Sodom. And you remember the story where the angels came, and they're talking to Abraham, and they're saying, we're going to go down, and we're going to take a look. and see. This is in the 18th chapter, the 16th verse. It says, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. 20th verse, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, and I'll see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, then I'll know. Now, this was thousands of years ago. We understand that God does not change. He's the same today as he was back then. Back then, he said, something is coming up to me from Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going down and I'm going to check and see if it's as wicked as I'm hearing. He knew, he saw. But for some reason, he said, I'm going to go down there and we're going to check it out. Abraham also knew how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was. He knew how few righteous people there must be. You remember where Abraham asked him, Lord, if you could find 50 people in that city, would you spare it? And the Lord says, okay, I'll do it. And Abraham got to thinking, you know what? There may not be that many righteous people left anymore. And he went all the way down to, Lord, if you could find just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare it? And the Lord said, I'll spare it. And he went in, and you know the story. We don't hear this in the news at all now when choices are being made that this lifestyle is okay. Folks, what we need to realize is the world is not going to help us in our convictions. What we're going to have to do is go to the Word of God and say, how does God look at this and stand right there? Because this same God that punished Sodom and Gomorrah will punish America. It's coming. It'll be here. And I wonder, are we in a span of time where God says, I'm looking to see how many righteous people are there in America? How many people with a true conviction that, God, I stand right where you stand. I'm willing to give my life for it. I will not bow myself to the pressure around me that this is okay. Because punishment will come. There's some verses, and I'd like to just give you a few of them. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Because we have a lot of people say, you know what, I don't believe what the Word of God says about that. Well, the 3rd chapter of Romans in the 3rd through the 4th verse said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the Word of God of none effect? If they take a poll and they say 75% of the people in America no longer believe the Bible to be God's Word, is it going to make any difference to God? No. It said, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible will stand by itself no matter if everyone says, I don't believe the Word of God anymore. What if some don't believe? Shall it make the Word of God of none effect? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's another verse in Psalms 119 and 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I need to always keep that in mind. From the beginning of time till the end of time, nothing will change. His word is settled in heaven. As this subject progresses, what helps you with your conviction? Because with young people, there's going to be a lot of pressure out in ahead of us for you to conform, for you to accept it. I'd like for us to take a look in Romans. There are 4 words that helps me with my conviction on this. It's found in the 1st chapter of Romans. Those 4 words are, how did we get to this kind of lifestyle? God gave them up. Those 4 words explain where we are today. In the 1st chapter and in the 24th verse, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. God allowed people. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And in the 26th verse, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And you can follow on down through this chapter, and you will find this is America today.
Yes,
we are condoning, as an American people, this lifestyle. And God says, I'm going to punish this lifestyle. And it comes on down at the end of this chapter, the first chapter of Romans, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but then this finishes up, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people in the world that say, oh no, I wouldn't go that way. But you know what? They can have a television, they can watch this, and it's glamorized. Take pleasure in them that do them. Folks, we want to keep ourselves a long distance from the world. We're going to have some convictions that we stand by, no matter what the world does, no matter which way it goes. We're in a time now where abortion is being made to, if you stand against it, it's made that there's some, you're not right. This is a woman's choice. She should be able to decide. Folks, we need to realize something. God takes a look and he knows each person.
Yes.
He knows the children that are called out into eternity because of a choice of a woman. And someone will have to pay for that.
Yes.
Folks, for us, we need to have a love for the sinner. Have a real care and a concern for the sinner.
Yes.
But never let our convictions be lowered because of the things that are happening around us. There are woes that are pronounced in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, 20th and 21st verse. It says, woe unto them that put light for darkness,
yes,
and darkness for light. The things that we consider to be light from God's word, they put no value on that. But the things that God says, I hate that,
yes,
they put that to have the value. Light for darkness and darkness for light. Good for evil and evil for good. Trading it around, this is what has value to us. But do we walk away from here and say, boy, this world's in a turmoil and it's got me in a turmoil? Doesn't have to be. When we have a solid conviction, I understand, I see the scriptures where God says, stand right here. No matter which way the world should go, stand right here. And when we stand there, the Lord will stand with us. There are examples of people in the Bible who had a conviction, and they took a stand on that conviction, no matter what happened around them. Some of those we heard of in Monarch this year. But I've thought about, and it's a hero to me, is Joseph. In a time where, you know, there were things that I did when I was at home, Mom and Dad were over me, and they told me, you do this or you don't do this. And I would do it just because of them. But every one of you young people will one day be out on your own. You need to have convictions that guide the direction of your life, because Mom and Dad won't be there at that time to tell you, nuh-uh, don't you do that. I'm not going to let you do that. Joseph came to that time. Joseph went to a place and now he's a slave in a foreign land, and God starts blessing him. And then Potiphar's wife comes along to seduce him. You know what Joseph could, if Joseph did not have some convictions, some deep convictions, he could have said, you know what, my dad, I'll probably never see him again. He won't even know what's going on over here. You know what, we need to have some convictions that go deeper than just what Mom and Dad have taught me. I need to take those things and I need to build them into my life. That now it's a conviction between me and God.
Yes.
Because when he answered her seduction to him, he didn't tell her, nuh-uh, there's no way I'll do that. My dad would kill me if he caught me. Uh-uh. He didn't say nothing about his dad. He said, how will I do this great evil and sin against God?
Yes.
I've got a communication between me and God now. And each of you young people, I want you to be able to get that. Get a communication between you and God to where you have a conviction. This is why I stand where I stand. And Joseph was able to be used years on down the road because he took each thing that came to him and he overcame that. He had some convictions that he stood by. There was another one, Noah. When the Lord came to him and told him, tell you what, there's going to be a flood. I'm going to destroy the earth, but I want you to build a boat. And here's your dimensions. He gave him the size. He gave him what type of wood he wanted him to use.
Yes.
Everything about it. You know what? We're living in a time where Christianity becomes something that I can decide how I'm going to do it. We find so many people, I believe I can make it to heaven doing it this way. When really, if we'll go to the Word of God, it's just as plain to us how to make heaven as it was to Noah when he said, I want you to build it this many cubits long, this many cubits wide, this many cubits high, and make it out of gopher wood. If we compared that to nominal, just regular people that say, I'm a Christian today, Noah was told, I want you to build this boat out of gopher wood. That's the wood you use. How much gopher wood does it take to build a boat that was, I believe it was somewhere around 450 feet long, 45 foot wide or something, huge boat? How many gopher trees would it take to build that anyhow? And I imagine he started around his place collecting the trees for lumber there. But you know what? After a while, how long did he build it? Over 100 years. After a while, no doubt he had to move farther and farther away to get a gopher tree. You know what? It's real easy to say, what is the difference between a gopher tree and an oak tree? It's wood. And I'm going to put pitch on it anyhow so it'll work. Folks, what makes the difference is, at the end of it all, when he needed it most to float,
yes,
the only one that could make it float was God. When I take my experience with the Lord and I start adjusting it,
yeah,
and I say, you know what? I don't think you have to do all that. I think you can do it different and still be able to make it. Keep something in mind. One day, I'm going to stand before the Lord with this boat that I've just finished. And I don't have time to explain it to him. Lord, I know it. You told me to use gopher wood.
Yes.
But I was going to have to walk 3 miles to get a gopher tree. And there was hickory trees all over that I could use. Lord, surely that would have worked. It won't work. Nor will it work for me when he says, I'm requiring holiness of you. You know what, folks? It doesn't matter if 98% of the Christian world says, you can't do it. You can't live holy. You can't live free from sin. You know what? For my spiritual boat to float at the end, I'm going to have to live holy. I'm going to have to tell the Lord, Lord, you show me step by step. Because it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I want to build it into my life. And Noah did that. He was able to save his house. You know what? That's going to be an important thing for each of us. By me having convictions and living carefully before the Lord, it could determine whether my children are saved in the end or not. I need to realize I'm not just an island to myself. I can live how I want to, and it's not going to affect anybody else. That's why it says work out your own salvation, but it doesn't say don't worry about it, just do it how you want to. It says put in some fear and some trembling,
yes,
with that. Be real careful. And somehow Noah was able to do it for all those years to where when he needed it the most, when the rain came down and he needed it most to float, step by step he had followed it exactly like the Lord said,
yes,
and it floated. I thought about Adam and Eve. If only the law that had been given them had also become their conviction. Instead of just, this is what the Lord told me not to do, but I really want to do it. You know what? When that has not become a conviction to us, it's only a matter of time until we cross the line. What I'm going to need to do is take God's law, apply it into my heart, and let it become a conviction. Because it wasn't a conviction to Adam and Eve. It was just a rule. Don't do it. And then as the devil came to Eve and started telling her, but he really didn't mean what he said. And she started then looking at it. It was a tree to be desired. The fruit makes me want to have some of it. And she crossed the line then. And what trouble it brought from that. And I was thinking about for Noah even. You know, he built that for 100 years. And it doesn't say anything about he built it at the ocean to where you could push it off. You know, today, if a big ship is built, it's built right next to water where it can be at least pushed out into the water and it floats. He's building that thing out on dry land.
Yes.
And there's another thing that caused convictions to be people not to have them. It had never rained before. They had never seen rain come down like he says is going to happen. And so it was real hard for people to believe. And so for 100 years he's building this, and there's no way he'll ever, as he adds another log to it, there's no way he'll ever drag it over to the lake that's a few miles from here, even if he wanted to float it. So their mind could never take in what's coming until it was too late. You know what? We're to that today. As we try to view what eternity is, we cannot comprehend it. We just cannot hardly bring into our mind to believe one day this thing's going to close out. And there'll never be another chance for me. So what I need to do is build my life very carefully with convictions in place that will not be changed. It does not matter how much more wicked the world will become, convictions that won't be changed. Because polls are a dangerous thing for people. Because, you know, I want to be accepted. I want to fit in with the world around me as far as, you know, I don't want to stand out so much if I can help it. But there was a time, and I'd like for us to look at that for just a little bit. In 1 Kings, in the 22nd chapter, there was a poll taken up. And it put pressure on the one that was wanting to live for the Lord. 1 Kings 22, and you'll remember the story. There was going to be a battle. Jehoshaphat was going to join himself with Ahab. And Jehoshaphat, he had a desire to live for the Lord. And he said, what do the prophets say? You know, let's ask the Lord about this. Should we go to battle or should we not?
Yes.
And so Ahab said, well, yeah, I've got 400 of them here. In the 6th verse, you'll see he had 400 men. So he asked them, should I go to battle? Well, those 400 men know exactly what he would like to do. I want to go to battle. So they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And then there's a question. 7th verse, Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is one man, Micaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Now that's something. A prophet that could tell me what to do or not do, but I don't like him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And he says, go get him anyhow. Would you go get him? Now look at the pressure that's going to be applied to him. They sent the messenger in the 13th verse to Micaiah, and he said to him, as he tells him, hey, they need you to come and tell them whether to go to battle or not, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of information here in the 13th verse. Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. You think the pressure's been applied? Yes, it has. This one man is fitting to go back and meet up with 400 prophets that are saying, go to battle, everything's fine. Look at this 14th verse. This man had some conviction. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. And so in the 15th verse, they ask him, should I go to battle or should we not? And he answered, he gave the same answer that all those 400 men had given. He said, go prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now look at this king that doesn't like him, 16th verse. How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now what he did, he said the same thing as those 400 prophets had done, but his meaning was totally different. God is going to deliver it in the hand of the king. It just won't be in the hand of you, the king.
Yes.
You're going to die. And that Ahab was able to sense, whoa, there's something different of what he's saying against what the other is. But I want you to look at something here, because this same thing can happen to our persuasions, my convictions. This same thing can happen to me. It says, I'd like to read you this, 19th verse. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at this town? And one said this manner, and another said that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, prevail also, go forth, and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. Those prophets that were working for King Ahab anyhow, and they would just kind of find out what he wanted and say, oh yeah, the Lord said, you go get it. A lying spirit. Folks, I need to be real careful because in this day and time, the devil would love to send that to me. There is a danger for me. I need to know the voice of the Lord. I need to know when it's thus saith the word of the Lord. Because there's going to be all kind of sounds come to me. This is the way. But there is a true way.
Yes.
Daniel, he had convictions that he stood by. It did not matter if it was popular. It did not matter if he had the majority or if he didn't. But when it was said, he purposed not to defile himself with the king's meat.
Yes.
Now, was that just, well, I'd just like to eat a little healthier diet because I want to feel better. No, there was something more to that. There was something that had been given to God in the way he ate before. And he would not cross that. There's a little saying that says, dare to be a Daniel.
Yes.
Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true. And dare to make it known. As Daniel did, he was not, the years, you know, he was there for a lot of years. He died there. He spent his life there. And we just hear little snippets, little stories every once in a while of Daniel's life. And he might live 20 or 30 years with no big event happening. But you know what? He was faithful all that time to where here he gets called and he's ready. We need to be able to live that same way. And I was looking at the three Hebrew children. When they were called up, it's time for you to bow. They had a conviction. A conviction that went deep enough that they were willing to lose their life rather than cross that conviction. When he said, I'm going to give you another chance. Maybe you didn't understand how serious this thing was. Their conviction went deep enough that they said, the Lord's going to deliver us.
Yeah.
They had no idea that the end of that story would be what we read today. They said, be it known unto you, if he doesn't save us out of the fire, we still won't bow before you. I want to be able to have convictions that go that deep in my own life to where I find it in the Word of God. This is what God approves of. And I don't change no matter how many in the world go one way or go another way. Because today there is a bumper sticker that I see every once in a while. It says, coexist.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different little symbols on that bumper sticker of different people that believe different religions. And in those, one of them happens to be the cross. But it's just one of them among many.
Yes.
And let's get along with all the other. Is that what happened with the three Hebrew children? Did they say, well, yeah, you know, tomorrow we'll worship our God. Yeah, if you want to, we'll bow down to this one today too. We're going to coexist with you. No, there's only one true God. And I think about with Daniel, when it came to the time where the men sought to give him trouble, and there was only one thing they could find against Daniel, and that was how he lived for the Lord. You know, I'd like to live my life to where when people try to find fault with it, the only thing they can say is, boy, how he lives for his God, we're going to have to try to pursue something there. Because with Daniel, they knew, you know what, he prays to his God every day. Let's get a law passed that he can't do that. You know what? They expected him to keep on doing it. They expected that to be his downfall because they had enough confidence in his convictions. And when he continued doing it, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. You know, it's real easy for us sometimes. Maybe we're out and there's a lot of people around us and it's time to say thanks for our food.
Yes.
Let's bow our head and don't worry about it. Folks, we want people to know, I acknowledge God has given me the things that he's given me. It's not just Old Testament times
yes.
that stand out to me with people that have convictions. I was talking to Brother and Sister Wright this morning of somebody that has really stood out to me in the last few weeks about convictions. and that is Hobby Lobby. Now, if you look at them,
yes,
they stood up against the American government saying, you will do this. And the government saying, we will penalize you so much per day, we're going to take your money till you bow down to us, to the way we say you're going to do things. I forget what it was, $1 million a day or something was the penalty. You will pay it every day until you are willing to give this that can cause an abortion or whatever. And they say, we've got a religious conviction that we will not do that. I was really, I don't know where those leaders in that company stand before God, but I know one thing, they got some convictions that go deep inside them, because they said, you know, God gave us this company. He helped it to grow, and Hobby Lobby is a huge company in the United States. But he helped it to grow to what it is today. And if he doesn't want it to continue, that's no problem. We're willing to let it all dissolve and go to nothing rather than we let our convictions on this go. And they stood there. Folks, not just for them, but for all of us today, that we will have convictions that I stand right here. No matter if the Christian world around me says, oh no, times have changed. Folks, there's going to be a day when you and I will stand before the Lord with our spiritual boat, and we're going to see if it floats or not. And it's not just, will he say, okay, run back now and work on it for another 20 years. No, it's for eternity that I'll be lost if I don't follow it. How easy will you give up your convictions? I was thinking about the Fox's Book of Martyrs. There were people that said, you know what, I'll die for the convictions that I hold. Ours are going to be tested. And I was reading a story. This is in 1 Kings again. And I'd like for you, I don't want to go through all of it for the sake of time, but I'd like for you to look at this story sometime. Because you can have a conviction today, and somebody can come along and have you change your conviction.
Yes.
And God does not stand with it. In the 13th chapter of 1 Kings, it just starts out, it never even tells what this man's name is. It says, behold, there came a man of God. That's all I need to know.
Yes.
It was a man of God. It was a man that can hear God's voice and go act on it. Came a man of God by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And through this chapter, this was not, Jeroboam was not supposed to be doing this. He was not a priest of the Lord. In fact, he was not even worshiping as he should have been doing. And this has been sent to him to let him know there's going to come a change. God's going to bring punishment on this that you're doing. And you remember when this Jeroboam reached out to grab a hold to this man of God, and when he did, his hand dried up. Well, immediately when you have that happen, you change how you feel about things. And he started begging this man of God. He said, please, would you ask the Lord to heal my hand here? And this man of God had the contact with the Lord enough that he prayed, and the Lord healed Jeroboam's arm. And Jeroboam immediately said, come to my house. I want to take care of you. I want to give you food. I want to take care of you. And this person, don't have his name, but it said he had a conviction because the Lord had told him, here's something that I want you to do. 7th verse, 13th chapter of 1 Kings. The king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I'll give you a reward. You know, the king had enough on hand that he could give him a real reward. He could leave out of there with more money than he could carry. 8th verse says, the man of God said to the king, if thou would give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Here's a real simple instruction that was given to this man of God.
Yes.
He told him, after you have done your duty there, I want you to not get a drink of water. I want you, don't eat a thing. And another thing is, don't come back on the same road that you went there on. Now, you know, we could sit down for a long time and try to figure out, now, why does that matter? Well, why it matters is God said, don't do it.
Yes.
Just some simple instruction. It don't matter if it's the king, don't sit down and eat till you get back home again. come back a different way. But let's go on down a little bit. So he went another way, 10th verse. He returned not by the way he came to Bethel. So it looks like everything is going good. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Look at this next verse. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons happened to have been there and seen what all happened, saw what all happened, and saw that he told the king, I'm not going to eat what you have. I'm not going to drink because God's told me to come home, even go home a different way. And his father says in the 12th verse, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, what road he's traveling back to his house. So 13th verse, he saddles an ass, he rode thereon, went after the man of God, and he found him sitting under an oak. I wonder what was going through this man's mind. He's done what God wanted him to do. He has seen miracles happen. He's sitting down resting for a little bit. And this man, he probably doesn't have near as much to offer him as the king would have in food and gifts. And he says in the 15th verse, come home with me and eat bread. 16th verse says, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. This to me applies so much to where we are today. He had a conviction, and it was very clear. He's already stated it two times, one to the king and one to this old prophet. I cannot come back. God told me clearly, don't do it. Look at what caught him. The 18th verse. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house. You have people today that say, you know what? The Lord told me that it's okay to do the things that you're saying shouldn't be done. Folks, I want to tell you, let's take it just as serious as this is. This old prophet tells him, an angel came to me and said, the Lord told me to come catch up with you. Bring him back with thee to thine house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And this man turned around and went back after all that he had seen God do in his life. That day, after him seeing Jehoshaphat's arm dry up, after him seeing his arm healed again when he prayed for it. And now, this just an old man coming to him and saying, the Lord told me, you don't have to do it that strict. Come on back. Things will be okay. I got some food for you. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house. And drank water. And as I read the rest of this, this is one of the saddest stories, I think, in the Bible. Because immediately, while he's there, now, and I'm going to take it just exactly like it says here. Now the word of the Lord does come to the old prophet and says, you know what? Because you didn't do what God told you to do, you're going to die for it. And I think of that in the time we're living in. Folks, we need to have a conviction that is steady, that is solid. It'll be solid today because it's found on the Word of God. It'll be solid next year, the same conviction, because it's founded on the Word of God. It will not change because there is pressure going to be applied to us, not just from the world out there, but from the religious world, that you can change. It's going to be okay. You'll be able to make it. I want you to always remember this story. The things that God has told us to do, the things that He's shown us, you be careful about this in your life. Don't let anybody change your convictions. Stick with them, because at the end, it's going to be just like Noah deciding, I don't believe I have to use gopher wood. There's other people, they're building theirs with cherry wood. I think it would float too. Do it just exactly like the Word of God. There is a verse in Galatians 2 and 18. It says, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. The places where I had a conviction in my life, if I take those back again and say, no, I don't believe I have to live that careful, I make myself a transgressor. There is something that is very important for us today if we expect to make heaven our home. I must know the voice of the Lord. I think of that verse of the song that says, dear shepherd, I hear and I'll follow thy call. I know the sweet sound of thy voice. Protect and defend me, for thou art my all. And in thee I will ever rejoice. In John, I'd like to look there in John in the 10th chapter and in the 4th verse. It says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." For me to be able to know the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of a stranger telling me it's okay to go this way. Isaiah 30 and 21 tells us this. Because I have a question, how can I make it in the dark times that we're living in? Here's how I can make it. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the left hand, when ye turn to the right." What is that talking about in the day we're living in? That's the Holy Spirit. To be able to have him working in my life, to be able to guide me, to be able to help me with the convictions that I have as people come along to try to change them for me. Think of where Jesus was telling us, it's expedient for me to go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He gave us a couple places. John 16 and 13 says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth." He will guide us in 2014. Now think of that song that says, "And safe to glory bring my soul." Amen. There's another one in John 14, 25 to 26. Talks about the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. The things that apply to us today, as the world drifts farther and farther away, we don't even hear on the news anymore. Folks, let's at least read the scriptures of how God looks at this lifestyle. Let's at least read these scriptures so we'll know what's coming out ahead. It's as if the Bible does not exist anymore. But you know what? We can still have firm convictions that carry us through it all, no matter what, because the Holy Ghost can be our guide. In closing, I think of a song, number 342, "Abide with me." It says, "I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Walk with me through this time." And there's one other song, number 141. "With thine eye, O Savior, guide me through my pilgrimage below. In thy secret presence hide me. On my heart thy grace bestow." The Lord is interested in guiding every one of us. He doesn't want it to be something that we don't know if we're going to make it or if we're not going to make it. Yes. We can have convictions that will carry us through, and they will help us to make heaven our home in the end. I'd like for us to sing this number 141 in closing, please. "With thine eye, O Savior, guide me."